first reading for this Reformation Day is recorded in the book of the Old Testament prophet Daniel chapter 3. This will serve as the basis for our meditation this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "We have no need to answer you about this matter. Since our God whom we serve does exist, he is able to save us from the blazing fiery furnace, so he may save us from your hand, your majesty. But if he does not, you should know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said to heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. He ordered some men who were soldiers from his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them into the blazing fiery furnace. So these men were bound in their coats, their pants, their turbans, and their other clothing, and they were thrown into the middle of the blazing fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was extremely hot, those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were killed by the intense heat of the fire. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had been tied up, fell into the blazing fiery furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar was startled and immediately stood up. He said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men who had been tied up into the middle of the fire?" They answered the king, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men who are untied and walking around in the middle of the fire unharmed. What is more, the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar approached the door of the blazing fiery furnace. He said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the middle of the furnace. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal advisors gathered together and looked at these men. The fire had no power over their bodies. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their robes were not damaged, and the smell of fire had not stuck to them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and saved his servants, who trusted in God and ignored the king's command. They gave up their bodies and did not pay homage or worship any god except their God." The word of the Lord. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. We will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have no need to answer you about this matter. Since our God whom we serve does exist, he is able to save us from the blazing fiery furnace. So he may save us from your hand, your majesty, but if he does not, you should know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you set up. Could I do that? Could you? Would I have the guts to take such a stand before someone so powerful? Could I take a stand like those 3 young men did before one of the most powerful rulers in the ancient Near East? A man well known thousands of years later for his brutality. Would you clearly confess your faith in the face of death? Would I say no when the world around me says yes, or it'll cost you your life? Would you give the reason for the hope that you have under pressure, under such extreme pressure? Or would I keep my mouth shut? Would I not even bother to make such a stand in the hope that God will overlook this moment of spaghetti-spined compromise? Would my heart give out? Would you give in where those where those 3 young men stood firm? Would we not even murmur a word? Such questions leap off the page as you read Daniel's account of the 3 brothers. That vivid account of the 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3 young men who stood firm before an angry king in his fiery, blazing furnace. I mean, it's amazing how these 3 young believers, 20-somethings, college age, just no older than college kids, how they could stand up under such extreme pressure. Yet they did. How? I mean, did God perform some kind of miraculous titanium spine transplant for them? Were they simply brave, bold, and didn't know better? On the other hand, how could any Christian do that? Countless Christians have faced the same deadly challenge to their faith and responded the same way, from the three young men to the countless Christians who have lost their lives for the faith under communist or fascist or Muslim regimes. How could they withstand such a hurricane of pressure on their faith that in many cases cost them their lives? How could they still stand? Now, living here, it's easy to think you'll stand firm. I mean, it's easy for me to think that way. We enjoy the comforts of being Christians who live in 21st century America, where physical persecution for your faith is still not a reality. Yet have you stood firm when the heat goes up just a little, just even 1 degree? I mean, no one's stoking a blazing furnace because you didn't deny the faith. Yet when God's word is called into question, when absolute truth is denied, when the lives of the helpless or the aged or the unborn is disparaged, when society dictates what you should think about earthly matters like sex and marriage, or that you're not allowed to say that something is wrong because it disagrees with the Bible, have you simply shut your mouth? Have you backed off from taking a stand? Have you ever held back because you wanted to save your skin when pressured with the reality that it's hard to say no when the world says yes, or it's going to cost you? Yes, we have. In our heart of hearts, we know. We know we have. It's hard to look the king in the eye and say no. It's hard to look the king in the eye and say, here I stand. It was hard for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, think about it. These young men had already been through so much. I mean, they witnessed the destruction of their homes. They had endured exile to a land 1,000 miles from home with no hope of them ever being able to really get back to their homes. Yet the Lord in his grace richly blessed them. He made them top advisors in the administration of King Nebuchadnezzar. That is, until they literally took a stand. Until they literally stood up for their faith. The king had a gold image of himself, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, to make the people prove their patriotic loyalty to him. Those three young men refused to bow down, because they served the true God. They refused to even give the appearance that they were worshiping any other God except the true God. Now, even when Nebuchadnezzar howled with rage over their lack of loyalty, they still stood firm. We heard this earlier. We have no need to answer you about this matter. Since our God whom we serve does exist, he is able to save us from the blazing fiery furnace. So he may save us from your hand, your majesty. But if he does not, you should know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the golden statue that you set up. This wasn't some radical, fanatical confession. No, this was trust in the true God's ability to deliver his people. Yet those men also realistically understood that the Lord may choose to deliver them through death rather than through a miracle. They stood firm because they knew their Savior God. He had remained faithful to them through the most terrible of times, and he would never, ever let them down. So they stood firm. And of course, that infuriated this brutal king. He had the furnace stoked 7 times hotter than it was usually heated. I mean, this wasn't going to be a long, slow march to execution. This was going to be a rushed race to death. The king commanded some of his strongest soldiers to take Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and throw those three disrespectful traitors into the furnace. Yet because the king's order was urgent and the furnace extremely hot, those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were killed by the intense heat of the fire. You'd expect those three young men to simply disintegrate as soon as they hit the fire. I mean, they would just go poof, it was so hot. They were bound in their coats, their pants, their turbans, and their other clothing. I mean, they probably expected it too. They probably expected as soon as they hit that heat, they would be gone. And they expected this even as they trusted in the Lord. But God had other plans that day. Rage soon changed to amazement as the king stared into that furnace and wondered what was going on. He leaped from his throne. He peered into the furnace and he's like, "What? Didn't we throw three men in?" And the advisors are like, "Certainly, Your Majesty, we did. We threw three men into that blazing, fiery furnace. And look, I see four men. Four men who are united and they're walking around in the fire. And the fourth man is in there. He looks like a son of the gods." Not only were the three brothers safely going for a walk inside a blazing furnace, but the Lord had also sent an angel to protect them. Humbled by the way the true God had delivered his servants, the king called to the three men, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out!" They stepped out of the furnace as if they were coming in from a walk. And all the government officials crowded around them. The fire had no power over their bodies, not a hair on their head was singed, their robes were not damaged, and the smell of fire had not stuck to them. All Nebuchadnezzar could do was praise the true God. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and saved his servants, who trusted in God and ignored the king's command. They gave up their bodies and did not pay homage or worship any god except their God. The Lord delivered his faithful servants and even brought glory to his name from the mouth of a pagan king." How could they do it? Would I be able to stand firm in the faith like they did? Would you? By nature, you and I could not, and we would not. On your own, on my own, you'd be no different than all those people who bowed down to a golden image to prove their loyalty to an earthly king. You'd be no different than Peter, who boldly and rashly promised that he would rather die with Jesus than deny him, and yet he crashed under the questioning of a mere servant girl. By nature, you and I have no confessional backbone. The truth is, by nature, neither did those brothers. They were sinful human beings too, just like us. And their natural inclination was to set aside God's word to save their skins, and yet they did not. They stood firm in the faith. So to Daniel, who wrote these words, and all the other prophets before and after him, so did Peter and John and the apostles who said to the rulers, to the leaders, that when they were commanded not to preach Jesus anymore, they said, "We must obey God rather than men." So did Paul and early Christians like him, Christians with names like Polycarp and Ignatius and Irenaeus and Lucy and Athanasius, who stood up for the truth under the threat of death or torture or exile and endured to the end. And so did Martin Luther, when as a pastor in his concern for the souls of his flock and his concern for the truth of God's word led him to stand up for the faith. He stood firm in his writings. He stood firm in public debates, even when he had to stand before the rulers and churchmen, the most powerful people in all of Europe, Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, most powerful man in Europe, all of them. Even then, he stood firm. His response was no different. "Unless I'm convinced by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. God help me. Amen." That didn't stop with Luther either. Believers stood firm in the following centuries, people who were tortured and executed, driven out of their homes, their towns, their countries, people whose jobs and children were taken away, who lost their family members in the middle of the night, whose pastors were put to death and whose congregations were driven underground. So do countless others who remain faithful to the word of God, where the same things still happen in places where conversion to Christianity is an automatic death sentence or a life of exile, or a life of constant pressure where at any moment the police could come in and arrest them and they would never be seen again. They stood firm and still stand firm, and so can you in the face of society's pressure and persecution, in the face of every attack from Satan and the world, even from your sinful nature. Well, how? You serve Christ, the only true God, the one who has saved you. You can have the same confidence that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had in the midst of extreme pressure because the God you serve is able to deliver you. Now, how can you be sure? Look to the pages of Scripture. Look to the Word of God and find there what you cannot find anywhere else. You have a God who knows how hard life is for a believer like you in this world. Yes, you do. Look to Jesus, who walked the loneliest, lonely sod in your shoes and endured to the end for you. Do you have a God who loves you and can take away your guilt for all those times when you caved into pressure from this world? Yes. Look to Jesus, who threw his shoulder under the cross you deserved and marched the lonely road to death for your sins, enduring God's awful condemnation for you. Do you have a God who has power over life and death and all things? Yes. Look to Jesus, who abandoned his tomb on Easter morning for you. Do you have a God who promises to deliver you when you are forced to take a stand and then saves you? Yes. Look to Jesus, who has already overcome the world for you, who will deliver you in the day of trouble, whether in this life or by bringing you home to heaven, bringing you to eternal life. At the same time, know that you have a Savior who gives you the words to say, who enables you to give a clear confession of faith about the hope that you have, a hope founded on the truth of Scripture alone, given to you by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is what you have been given. That is what has been entrusted to us. And now is our turn, our time to stand firm. How could Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand firm to the end? How could Daniel and Peter and Paul and Polycarp and Luther and so many others do the same? How can believers stand firm in the faith to the end? How can you? On Christ we still stand. On Christ we have no reason to fear. We have a God who saves. We have Christ, the God who saves, the God who overcame the world, the God who conquered Satan and death. We have Christ, the only true God, and we will only serve Him. So then may the God of our fathers cause us to stand firm on the bedrock of His Word until the day He returns. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen.